This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I don't want to look back in 20 years and say I fought in Croke Park. I want to look back in 20 years and say I won. I got to like 24 and I walked away from the sport, but I walked away with serious regrets. Yes. If I didn't make that decision 10 years ago, I'd be living a completely different life now. I want to wake up, as I said, September 6th with zero regrets, knowing I forgive everything. I don't think anyone can say it was the dream. No. Maybe Katie can, yeah. That's the only one. It was never a dream because it was never a possibility. And I can remember saying to my manager, you have one job as my manager. If that fight ever happens, I have to be on it. You look at this, it's going to be 80,000 people. It's going to be a family event as well.
Yeah.
RT are going to be there. It's important that people in the crowd respect it and put on a very good night. No trouble in the crowd. You need to put your best foot forward. My fight will be fight tonight, 100%. I just know stylistically that both of us come to fight. I went into a boxing club 10 years of age and no idea where this journey was going to bring me. It's brought me to Tokyo, it's brought me to Madison Square Garden. It's fitting that the second biggest fight in my life is going to be 500 metres from the house.
Brennan, just a couple of days out from a massive night in Croke Park for yourself. Excitement must be building.
Yeah, look, I'm in this game long enough not to get too ahead of myself. Great opportunity, obviously, fighting in Croke Park. Something that probably will never be done again. But for me, it's just staying focused, not getting ahead of myself. I fought on a few big shows before, so I know to pull myself back in and just keep my head remained on the goal, which is winning.
We'll get into that in a couple of minutes, but there's a full career here for yourself to get into, and if we had an hour and a half, we probably wouldn't even get halfway through it, but we might just touch on the main points of it. This is going to be in Croke Park. You grew up only, I think, 500 metres from the place itself. I mean, there's going to be fighters on this, Irish fighters, a massive night for Irish boxing, a massive night for Irish sport, but for yourself, growing up only up the road, that must make it ever so special too.
Yeah, again, as I said, I don't try not read too much into things, but I'm looking at, from my family's point of view, it's great for them. Great for my mother, my father, who grew up in Ballybock, my whole family from the area. My uncle, who's been going to Dublin matches since he was a kid, going to Croke Park, he follows Dublin around the country. So this is a great moment for them, and it makes that a little bit more special for me representing them.
You're obviously putting the final touches on your camp here in Dublin, Docklands Boxing Club. Again, only up the road from where you grew up too. Actually, pretty much where you did grow up. For your family, as you mentioned there, it must be ever so special for them too.
Yeah, look, they're more excited than me.
Yeah.
They're in my ears every night talking about what song you're picking to walk out, which I haven't even thought about myself yet. Still don't have a walk-up song, but like they're constantly talking about it. I'm walking down the street here, you get two or three people every time you walk up the door talking about it. It's great, as I said, for other people, and it will be great for me to look back on after I win. But you seen the session we done there with Philip this morning. For me right now, I know this from experience, it's about focusing on the job ahead, because I don't want to look back in 20 years and say I fought in Croke Park. I want to look back in 20 years and say I won. I've obviously been to the Olympic Games, and it's a great achievement getting there, but for me the Olympic Games wasn't successful, and I don't really look back at it with too fond of memories.
Right.
I want to look back at this experience where I win, and that's why I'm sort of putting all that to the back of my mind and just concentrating on winning.
This is a place you've put countless hours of work in over the course of the last 20 5 years, I would imagine. When you do come down here, what is it about boxing for you that made you get into it in the first place, but also probably dug you out of some places you didn't fancy finding yourself in maybe a decade ago?
Yeah, so this club in general, it's special. I've been over in New York for like the last 3 or 4 months, and New York was at one stage known as the Mecca of boxing. Probably the greats, they all fought out there, out of Gleason's gym. I think Tyson fought up in Catskills in upper New York. But you can't match the intensity in this. Like, look at this, it's on you. A little shed and just off Sheriff Street. You can't match the intensity here. Phillip's obviously my coach. I've come back specifically to train here from New York, which is known as the Mecca of boxing. That shows what's created in here. You look at the fighters, the likes of Pierce, you have a handful of top class amateurs coming through. You can't match what happens inside here. So for me, this club gives me inspiration, it gives me motivation. Philip there will always keep me level headed. And that's why I'm probably in the mindset that I'm in right now of, yeah, it's great to fight in Croke Park, but we want to win. We want to not get ahead of ourselves. Because we know a few mistakes and you get beaten. We've seen it in the past. So this club is special. I've only been here 7, maybe 8 years, boxing other clubs, but yeah. I feel most at home here. Obviously, if I'm coming back from New York to finish out my camp here, it's where I feel at home.
Yeah, naturally. And obviously, the sport of boxing is so powerful as a sport, but it's so powerful as the tool for people as well. And when you did come back to pursue that kind of Olympic dream, and I know you say you don't reflect on it with any great joy because it wasn't as successful as you would have liked it to have been, but as a touch point for yourself, heading to the Olympics and getting there and what it's done for this club, and we look around and all the stuff that's here, and obviously you're not the only one who's gone and represented Kelly too, it still is an amazing thing to have done. And we get on to Croke Park in a little while, but when you reflect on that happening when it did and this happening now, I mean, you've carved out a pretty successful career in boxing that is nowhere near over either.
Yeah, like, I hope someone can take some sort of inspiration from it. I had up yesterday on my Instagram story that I came back to boxing like 10 years ago just to give it one more shot, because I was always good, but I never really lived a life and I never went all in. And I got to like 24 and I walked away from the sport, but I walked away with serious regrets, knowing that I never gave her everything. And since I was 10 years of age, walked into a boxing club, I always had the dream of becoming an Olympian. When I got to age 24, I was just like, you know what? I knew I didn't fulfill my potential, and I wanted to go back, give it one more shot, a serious shot, not half in, half out. I wanted to give it everything. I'm talking about from living the life to mentally thinking I was good enough and just ticking every box. And I'd done that for 5, 6 years, eventually led to the Olympic Games, which, again, I don't look back with great memories, but for my family and for the club and for kids in the club, it is a great story. It's great inspiration, and they can all take something from it. And here I am, 5 years post Olympic Games, still fighting, having fought in Madison Square Garden, having fought in the Tree Arena, about to fight in Croke Park. If I didn't make that decision 10 years ago, I'd be living a completely different life now. So it's worth it. It's worth backing yourself, and it's worth taking a shot on yourself. You got to surround yourself with good people. Again, that's why I go back to where I am right now in Dublin Docklands. I'm around the best team that make it possible, because to do all them things that I said, you can only go so far on your own. You need a team around you, supporting you, making things a little bit easier for you. And that's all I had over the last 10 years.
You touch on it there about the Olympics and all that sort of stuff, but I'd be right in saying that going professional wasn't something that was really on your radar for quite a long time.
No, it was never the goal. The goal was always to be an elite Irish champion, an Olympian, and to fight Madison Square Garden. And I've ticked off all three of them, and still I'm not happy. You always want more. Now again, I look back in 10 years and I will be grateful. I'll be grateful for the experience of going for the Olympics. But I think that's the thing about being a high achiever. You always want more. You always want to do better. And look, I'm coming into intensity the last year of my career, maybe 2 years, I don't really know. I will look back eventually with fond memories, because I know over the last 10 years I didn't cut corners.
Yeah.
I can't look back and say I couldn't have given any more. I've been on a great journey. I brought my family, my friends, my club on a great journey with me. Like me, Philip Knoll fought in Madison Square Garden last year. It was a great trip. Mm. It was probably one of the best trips that I've ever been on, because I had my team around me, I had my family around me, I had my friends around me, and I brought them to New York. It's because I went back to boxing 10 years ago, because I put myself in this situation, it led to Madison Square Garden. So I will look back with fond memories. I won't, although right now I talk about the Olympics with not great joy, I will look back in 10
years. That's probably still because
you've got
tunnel vision of going to achieve
more. I want to do better. But yeah, I will look back and be grateful.
How do you go about channeling that in a positive way? That kind of always wanting more. And I know it might be a simple thing to look at and go, well, you're going to keep pursuing your dreams and all the things you want to achieve because you want to do it. But there's also the kind of inverse of that where you're never satisfied.
Yeah, and I have that a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of overthinking. It's probably just part of my character. I suppose I use the Olympic Games wasn't a failure, but I use like that negative side of not winning at the Olympic Games as fuel to my fire now. Yeah. I don't ever want to feel that again. That's why I'm so level-headed about fighting in Croke Park. I want to win. I want to wake up on September 6th knowing that I left nothing in that ring and I got a victory. So that's part of the fuel to my fire. I suppose once boxing is finished, that character will just stay with me and I'll go into business or wherever I do afterwards. It's not a bad character, that's right.
No, it's not bad.
Look, I probably will be very successful post-boxing. But it's just part of who I am.
Mm. Croke Park, couple of weeks' time, couple of days' time. It's amazing. I'm doing a few of these different interviews with fighters, and it's all. It seems as though it's. But the next time I do one, it's going to be tomorrow. That is going to be a huge occasion. You've fought in big occasions yourself in the past, obviously over in the Olympics, over Madison Square Garden. You've alluded to it there. How do you make sure that that occasion isn't something that negatively affects how you perform in there in the ring?
Yeah, so I was only talking about this the other day with my sister and my brother. The biggest fight in my life was the fight for me to get to the Olympic Games. So yeah. The last chance alone. I was fighting against Sweden, and I remember vividly 10 minutes before going out to the ring. So at amateur level, you both warm up in the same area. And the person that I was fighting, he's from Sweden.
Yeah.
He was pacing up and down, pacing up and down. You could physically see that it was getting to him a bit. He looked overwhelmed, he looked nervous, he looked like he had rage. And I was sitting back, as calm as you like. Knew I had 20 years of training banked. This is the exact same. I very, very rarely let occasions get to me. I'm level-headed. I've learned from experience in the past. And for me, I want to wake up, as I said, September 6th, with zero regrets. Knowing I've given everything. It's a tough fight, we know that.
Mm.
But I want zero regrets on September 6th.
Have you found the transition from the amateur game to the pro game? You're maybe 7 fights deep now, I think, is it in the amateur
this
game?
Will be my seven. This will be my seventh pro fight. Yeah, it's just, I was at an age where I was toured, and you can't stay in that high performance unit for too long because it's very rigid and very structured, and you have to be there at certain times, and
yeah.
It doesn't really allow for lifestyle. Whereas professional boxing, you sort of train on yours and your coach's schedule. It's a little bit more flexible, which works brilliant for me. As I said, I went off to New York for 3 months, done a lot of training over there, came back for the last 6 weeks. It's just a little bit more flexible that suits my lifestyle at 35. I can't be in that rigid training schedule because at 35, unfortunately, you got a lot of other stuff going on.
And over the last couple of years, as you say, you have been fighting in the pro game. Have you been as active as maybe you would have liked to have been, or would you maybe like to have been in there a few more times?
Ah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've only had 6 fights in 3 years. Haven't fought in 8 months, and that's potentially why they're taking this fight. They're probably looking at me saying I haven't fought in 8 months, but there's a difference between not fighting and not being in the gym. I've been in the gym and fights have just fell through for various reasons, and especially over the last 6, 7, 8 months, I've been constantly in the gym.
Because there's been a lot of boxing in Ireland over the last couple of months as
we haven't
gotten to see you out there, you know.
Like, yeah, would have loved to be on the show in March, but a few things just fell through on my end. Probably made one or two bad decisions going for other fights and didn't get on that show. Then we were potentially going to be on August 1st. This was just too close to September 5th, so we didn't go on that. Look, I'm very confident in the training that I've done. I'm confident that I've been in the gym for the last 18 months. Yeah, in an ideal world, you'd love to have had 3 fights over the last 18 months, but that hasn't happened. I can't dwell on that.
No.
As I said, it's just about winning now on September 5th. So I look at the positives. I'm really starting to sharpen up. This happens every training camp. The last 2 weeks, you just start to fly.
Okay.
You start to motor and you start to come into your own. The confidence starts to grow and you can see that victory in front of you. And that's where I am right now. Staying level-headed, of course, but the confidence is growing by the day.
Is there a world where you do let a bit of the occasion seep in and kind of live in the moment a small bit, and that benefits you on the night? Or is it very much like this is, I'm getting in the ring there and I'm boxing, and this is no different than any other fight I've been
it's
in?
It's no different than any other fight. It's, as I said, it's part of who I am. I would probably love to take the occasion in, and talking to my manager a few weeks ago, I came back for the press conference and he was like, look, take it all in. It's the biggest regret I have of my career is not taking it all in. He went on to be a world champion. If he took it all in, maybe he wouldn't have gotten that far. So it's part of who you are. Again, I look back after this and say, what a great occasion. I came back for 6 weeks. I got to train in this club. I got to put myself through torture at 35. I'm still extremely grateful that I'm in the sport, but I just want more. And I won't be able to sort of rest on that until this fight is over.
It's Taylor Bevan you're going to be fighting on the night. He's also undefeated, as you are yourself. There's a lot of talk about, you know, somebody's always got to go is a very kind of term that's coined an awful lot in boxing. I think maybe it means a little bit less than it perhaps did maybe a decade ago. What are you expecting from him on the night? And does that play into your approach too much? Do you look at what he's doing to any great degree, or is it very much focused on yourself?
Yeah, you'll always come up with a game plan. So you look at your strengths, you look at his weaknesses, you look at his strengths, and you'll come up with a game plan based off his last 3-4 fights, and that's exactly what we've done. I would assume they've done the exact same. You sort of have to be thinking, what way are they going to be approaching the fight? There is a lot to it. I know a lot of people say, oh, we don't look into the fight, but I like to really look into it, because realistically, a lot of the time you're not going to do something new. You are a man of habit, and what you've done over the last 7, 8, 9 years, you're not going to switch something up drastically on front of you. But if he does, that's probably my biggest asset. I'm very adaptable. I've went on about this over the last 3 or 4 fights. I can adapt to the person in front of me. So if, for whatever reason, it's not the Taylor Bevan that we expect, I know I can adapt to what's in front of me. Look, he's a big, strong lad. I think he's 9-0 with AKO, so he has a bit of a pop in him. I don't fear him, not in the slightest. Again, we have a game plan that we think we can beat him with. If it comes to that, I have to change on the fly in there, I'll change. But as I said, I'm very confident that I'm going to get the victory.
You sent me over a picture yesterday of a very young looking Emmett Brennan wearing some boxing gear. I was wandering around here earlier on. I'm looking at the Olympic flags. I'm looking at a plaque there. I'm looking at that big poster behind us from yourself when you did go to the Olympics. If you could go back now and say something to that young man, what would you go and tell him?
You've done everything you wanted in this sport. As I said, I had 3 goals. One was the Olympic Games, that was the big goal. Second was an Irish Elite title, and the third one was Madison Square Garden. I think the Madison Square Garden dream came from playing Fight Night when I was a kid. I think that's what that came from. The other two came from the people that I was surrounded with when I boxed up in St. Xavier. So at the time you had Darren Sutherland, you had Carl Brabazon, you had Keith Boyle, you had Dean Murphy. These were all fighting for elite titles at that stage, and I was like 10, 11, 12, and that's who I was looking up to. So I think that's where the dream of the Irish elite title and the dream of the Olympic Games came. Now, boxing is sort of changing in Ireland.
Yeah.
The professional boxing is coming onto the scene. There wasn't a professional boxing scene
for a long time,
20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Now that's there. these kids are probably looking at the likes of Pierce, the likes of the McKenna brothers, Callum Walsh, maybe myself, Katie Taylor. These people are looking at these, and maybe dreams are starting to change now, where people want to be world professional champions and not Olympic champions. But definitely the landscape of boxing in Ireland is starting to change, and you've probably seen yourself with the surge of professional boxing over the last 2-3 years, and it's just going to grow and grow and grow. Great opportunity for people, but my bread and butter was always amateur boxing, yeah. So that hurts me a little bit, because potentially that is going to go on the decline. I can see that happening. You can probably see it happening around clubs, yeah, in Ireland.
Is there any way around that?
I don't know. Maybe add a little bit more of this stuff to the amateur side, and maybe give them a little bit more money, show them there's a lot more opportunity. Show if you get to the Olympic Games, when you go professional, you could make more money, have a little bit more media involved in it, maybe bring a few corporate sponsorships in. There's a few different areas that they can look at, but I can only see it going downhill unless they do something drastically quick.
You mentioned Darren Sutherland there as well. I've heard you speak about him so glowingly in the past. How big of an influence on your career was he, I suppose, looking up to him and then obviously being around him as well?
Yeah, I was obviously in St. Saviour's when he went to the Olympic Games, and as a kid I can remember how he trained. He was always a fascinating character, but he was a really, really hard worker and unbelievable talent. But what I always took from him was work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, he was always in the club. If he wasn't out in the high performance unit, he was in St. Saviour's training. Yeah, he had a massive influence on me as a kid, and maybe that's where the Olympic dream came from. I can actually remember looking at him. I was on holidays in Turkey in 2008, and I can remember running from the beach to a pub to look at his fight. I think he fought like Columbia or something like
yeah.
that. I can remember that vividly as a kid. I would have been maybe 14, 15. So, yeah, it's a massive influence. And I suppose as you get older, you don't realise you could be that influence in a kid's life, but you don't realise that because it's not really what you're doing for you. You're sort of doing it for yourself.
Yeah, and that sounds selfish in the face of it, but it's not. Like, it is the nature of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, Darren probably did know, but he was influencing a whole group of kids, and maybe myself, maybe Pierce could be having that same influence in here.
Yeah, without a doubt. You mentioned the stuff there that you kind of had the aspirations of when you were that young man and what you wanted to go and do. I think the elephant in the room is that Croke Park wasn't one of them, because it just wasn't really something that was an option. You're a big Dublin GAA fan as well. You would have been in and out of Croke Park regularly. I mean, I imagine up until now as well, and going forward you will too. How mental, I suppose, is it as a concept, the fact that there's going to be boxing out on the pitch in Croke Park for the first time since the early 70s?
Yeah, it was never... I don't think anyone can say it was the dream. No. Maybe Katie can. Yeah. That's the only one. It was never a dream because it was never a possibility. But then I suppose maybe 3-4 years ago, I fought on Katie's last fight in 2023. In the Tree Arena, and I look back there on my memories on Instagram, and I think that was a possibility around then. And I can remember saying to my manager, you have one job as my manager. If that fight ever happens, I have to be on it. True to his word. He got me on it, so he's like, I can't really ask for much more, but it was never, it's beyond anyone's dream. I probably, looking back in a few years, I probably wish I am going to take her in a little bit more, but as I said, it's part of who I am.
Yeah, that's the nature of hindsight, really, isn't it? I actually spoke to you, I was only in college back then, but the weigh-in or the press conference that she'd done was in the Helix over in DCU. And at the time, it felt like a significant moment too, because we hadn't had a whole lot of professional boxing, and it seemed as though a trademark of Katie Taylor really throughout her career has been breaking down barriers. And I don't know if you'd call this a barrier, but it was certainly a hurdle to get some big time proper professional boxing back in Dublin, I suppose, and then that opens up the doors to go elsewhere around the country too. Did that feel important at the time for yourself, like even outside of the fact that you were going to be fighting professionally?
Yeah, it's probably something I didn't think of at the time, but looking back now, 100%. You look at where professional, because we just mentioned there, amateur boxing was the big thing in Ireland for 20 years. You look right now, professional boxing is on the rise, and it's only getting bigger, it's only getting better. maybe that wouldn't have happened if Katie didn't fight in 2023. The Great Nights, you look at this, it's going to be 80,000 people. It's going to be a family event as well.
Yeah.
RT are going to be there. It's important that people in the crowd respect that and put on a very good night. No trouble in the crowd. You need to put your best foot forward, because for boxing to take off in this country, we need to put our best foot forward. As I mentioned earlier, you need like corporate backing. You need the likes of media, RTE. You need to go as big as possible. And that only happens if you put your best foot forward. If you do that, you give yourself the best chance going forward over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, where the likes of RTE might say, do you know what? We'll get back involved in boxing because what happened in Crow Park on September 5th. So it's about making it a great night, no trouble, putting your best foot forward, and then the possibilities are endless, because it's a great sport. If you go to a boxing event and it's a very good night where there's no trouble and everyone has a great time, it is one of the best nights you can have. And we need people sort of to remember that going forward.
And this, on a similar note, but not an identical note, there's going to be outrageous amount of eyeballs on this, as you mentioned there, and for the crowd and everyone involved to make it as successful as a night as possible. Is that something that you would look at, I suppose, in the build-up to the fight as well, like maybe in fight week, that there's going to be such a global kind of presence around this for yourself and your kind of your personal brand too? That is, I know brand is not a really nice word, but as boxers, you are in the ring on your own, but you're also fending for yourself outside of it too.
Yeah, so again, I go back to not taking it all in. I'm sort of like 50-50, where it's like, look, you got to do your media, you got to get your connections and your network. And for me, I want to go into boxing management probably in the next 12 months.
Okay.
So this is a great opportunity for me to build a network with the likes of yourselves and other people.
Yeah.
That will eventually give the fighters that I manage the attention that I'm probably going to get now. So, like, I have to take it all in. I have to do the media. I have to talk to people, because if you don't, you're not getting them connections. I have to think selfishly as well. What I'm going to be doing over once my boxing career is finished, and for me, it is going to be boxing management. So, I need them connections, because if I was managing a boxer, I would never tell them not to do media, not to get your face out there, not to let the world see you, because it's the right thing. The bigger profile you have, the more you can do for your brand. The more you can do for your brand, the bigger option you are for the likes of a promoter, because it all goes back to what you can do for them. So yeah, it is great to have eyes on me and the rest of the fighters over the next 11 days.
Was there ever any expectation that you wouldn't be on this card? Did you always think when it was sort of came around that it was going to happen, were you thinking, okay, I have to be on this?
As I said, I gave my manager literally one job. His job was to get me on it. He said he would do everything possible. We actually put it to Matchroom and Brian Peters in March that we would fight Taylor on this fight, and they were sort of all for it straight away. But then we didn't know whether Crow Park was actually going to happen, and then we got the go ahead probably, I would say, 13, 14 weeks ago. I was supposed to be on the August 4th card, basically told, you're going to have to pull out of this, you're on September 5th, which is a no-brainer. So yeah, like, there's always the possibility that you weren't going to be on it, which would have been devastating, but it still would have been on August 4th.
You would have been busy anyway.
Yeah, I would have been busy.
Yeah. It is an amazing sport for so many different reasons, but at the end of the day, you're getting in there to fight, and we've seen some horrible stuff going on over the last little while, and our thoughts are obviously still with Lee Reeves after that horrible incident in the Tree Arena. When you're heading into the ring, how do you remove that kind of very raw aspect of the sport, or is that something that you actually do have to factor in your head when you're getting in
there? No, it's unfortunate, but I completely remove it because I've done the work in here.
Yeah.
If I haven't done the work in here, I would not go into a fight. So that's the big thing with me between over the last 10 years and probably previous to when I did come back to boxing. I would get a call on a Thursday night asking, can you fight on Saturday?
And
in the amateurs, this is. And I would say, yeah, no problem, throw me in.
Yeah.
Jump in, get the head smacked out for three rounds, get out. And you say, oh, I'm never doing that again. 2 weeks later, someone rings you, yeah, Wednesday, can you fight on Sunday? Yeah, no problem, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Now, I will never get into the ring unless I'm prepared. I just won't put myself in that situation, because you're fighting over 8 rounds, you're fighting over 10 rounds, you're fighting against someone that's trying to knock you out. Mm. You need to be in the best physical shape, you need to be in the best mental shape, and you got to be confident going in. I would not put myself in that situation. So it's sort of a removal from the back of my mind because of the work that I do on here with Philip.
I think this is one of the cards where people are going to be silly if they don't get in there early and watch the fights that are on the early prelims, the prelims, the undercard, and right up to the main event. I suppose just to finish up now, because you've been incredibly kind with your time and you're exceptionally busy at the moment too, trying to get that last bit of weight off, I imagine. Why should people make sure they tune in early to catch Emmett Brennan on this card?
Well, I mentioned to Eddie Hearn last time that I fought in 2023 that my fight with Jamie Morrissey was going to be potentially fight of the night.
I wasn't wrong.
You look stylistically, I come forward, Taylor Bevan comes forward. At some stage, and I think it's going to be early on, the fight is going to, it's going to be fire. It's going to be toe to toe. So, again, potentially fight of the night. Again, I looked at a lot of people that have bought tickets for this aren't actually boxing fans.
Yeah.
So that might play into the fact that they will actually get there early.
Yeah.
They want to be there for the whole show. They're not just going to be there for Katie Taylor. Traditionally, people will just go in for like the co-main event and the main event, or whoever they're there to look at. I think because there's such a big audience, I think you're going to have 40, 50,000 people in there from 6 o'clock. It's a different kind of audience, I feel. So my fight will be fight of the night, 100%. I just know stylistically that both of us come to fight. That's the game plan from both of us, I would imagine, going into it. So when you get that, you get a lot on the line. For me, potentially a matchroom contract out of this.
Mm.
For him, if he gets beaten, doesn't look good that you're 9-1, you're signed by a big promoter. So there's so much on the line for him, there's a lot on the line for me, and you will see that on Friday night when we're both going for it.
Has everyone managed to get tickets?
Don't talk to me about it. It's like it's probably the, it's been the toughest part about it, because I've people that have travelled with me to Belfast, Tree Arena, I've people that have gone to New York to see me fighting, and there's nothing I can do for them. I got a few family, a few friends sorted, and that was about it. And it puts you in a very awkward situation, because you have 200 or 300 people texting you.
Yeah.
You can't get back to everyone individually. And then these people have helped you and they've backed you before. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in this position right now. But unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about it.
No. It just came to my head there. I know I said I would wrap it up there a moment ago, but you spoke there about the travelling you've done, going to Belfast, going further afield, the Olympics, America.
Mm.
It's fairly fitting that coming to the tail end of your career, the biggest night that there's going to be, unless you get a world title over the next little while, I don't even know if that would surpass what this is going to be when you look back at it in 10 or 15 years' time, that it's going to be 500 metres from your front door.
Yeah, again, I had it up the other day on Instagram. It's just crazy how things work out. I went into a boxing club 10 years of age and no idea where this journey was going to bring me. It's brought me to Tokyo, it's brought me to Madison Square Garden, the likes of Belfast, Germany, Bulgaria, Ukraine. It's brought me everywhere. I've met some of the best people in the sport. I've trained with Olympic champions. I've been surrounded with elite athletes and just good, good people. Most of the people I know is from this sport, and it's fitting that the second biggest fight in my life is going to be 500 metres from the house where my family grew up, where my uncle went to look at Dublin since he's this height. It's just fitting that this is where the last year or two is going to end.
Yeah, well, listen, the very best of luck over the next week for the final touches, and then on fight night too. I concur with you. I think it's going to be a fantastic fight for yourself, but it's going to be an even better occasion all around.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks very much. It's more beautiful when you're here. I remember the light when I turned around.
This is a free off the ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.